hallelujah. Let's speak the word of the Lord to Mark chapter 11. The Gospel of Mark chapter 11 and verse 20 to 24. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." And line verse 22 onward. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Amen. Hallelujah. Have the God kind of faith. God is saying, have my faith, or have faith in God. That word means have my faith. "And if you have my faith, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." If we say there is a faith to ask God for something in prayer, that's called asking faith. And we are many times people who will ask God in faith. We pray to the Lord knowing that He will answer us. But there is a kind of faith that God wants you to be built into. A relationship. Remember, the relationship that you have with Jesus, He's to be your Lord. But the revelation of Jesus that you have in your life is progressive revelation. He does not reveal himself altogether of all that he is at one time. He reveals to you step by step. And many of us know Jesus. I mean, you don't have a relationship with the Lord overnight. Are you with me? You receive Jesus into your heart, but your relationship with the Lord is something that is built day by day. It is something that is ongoing. And each day as you begin to know him more and more, you begin to love him more and more. You want to serve him more and more. In case you are not doing that, means you have never known him at all. Once you begin to know him, and once you begin to love him, you will want to serve him. And you will want that to happen forth every day. Every day is more exciting, more inspiring, more desirous to be with the Lord than anything else. It's progressive. Now I want to speak to you on faith. And how through faith in God, you can allow the mountains in your life to be removed. Amen. Mountain, that word means anything that is blocking your way from inheriting all that God wants you to inherit, how it can be removed from your life and from your very circumstance and situation in your home by faith in the Lord. And that too with progressive revelation of the Lord. In the Gospel of John chapter 13, in the Gospel of John, there is a revelation that is progressive, that is revealed. Now in the 13th chapter of John and verse 13, Jesus said, are you with me this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. 13th chapter and verse 13. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. And 16 words, I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now if you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Here the Lord is washing the feet of the disciples, and he's going on to tell them, no servant is greater than the master, There is the relationship or revelation the disciples have got as of a servant and master. The Lord is the master, we are the servant. But in John 15 and verse 15, the Lord goes on to say, after spending more time with them, he sends them, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Some of you have never grown more than knowing the Lord as your master. I mean, you think all the time that you need to be so busy serving him, but you have never known him as a friend, someone so close. Yet the disciples are having a progressive revelation. One, they know him as their master. Next thing that they know is the Lord is saying, I'm going to call you friends now. And in John chapter 20 and verse 17, the Lord goes on to say, well, after his death and his resurrection, he's coming, he's meeting with Mary Magdalene, and he's saying to them, go to my brothers and tell them what you've seen. Oh, go to my brethren, the 20th chapter of John and verse 17. So there is a revelation of one, tell me, servant, two, friend, and three. Rather, I mean, more intimate. Each time it is more intimate. The first one, you know him as your master and you're willing to serve him. Some people after being born again, all they want to do is serve the Lord. That's wonderful. I want to serve the Lord too. And sometimes we think we can work our way into heaven. And some people are so busy serving the Lord, they forget to get more intimate with him. They stay in that level of the relationship with the Lord that they don't grow into a relationship where they know the Lord as their friend. Friends. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? Knowing the Son of God, the God of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords as your intimate friend. When God visited Abraham in his tent, he said to the angels, how can I keep back anything from Abraham? The Bible calls it a friendship with God. Abraham had a friendship with God. Are you with me? Whereby he knew the very heart of the Lord. The Lord said, this is what I'm going to do. How can I keep anything back from Abraham? I need to tell him everything. But there is a greater revelation whereby you come to know the Lord as your brother. You know you have God the Father as your Abba. You can call him, Father, I come to you. And you know the privilege of belonging. Last Friday I was sharing with you, when you know you're born again and when you begin to fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God, you know that you've been called out of darkness unto light. No doubt about it. You know you have been brought out of bondage unto freedom. You know that you have been brought from poverty unto the riches of God's glory. You know you are a heavenly material. You know there is something divine inside of you because the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. Have you felt it? Have you sensed it? Have you known it? I mean, to know that God is inside of you, the Holy Spirit of God, because you're born again. You have an assurance from heaven that you're going to heaven, your home. No longer is heaven somewhere far away, but it is like your home. And it is your home. You're waiting for the day when Jesus will come and take you back to where he is, to the rooms and the mansions that he's prepared for you. Hallelujah. To know him. Now, here the Bible speaks about, in each stage of revelation, remember, a servant, he comes in prayer, he comes in, he is willing to ask, Lord, please. But as a friend, you go on to a stage whereby you are in a relationship with the Lord, whereby you know what he wants to reveal to you. You have more boldness in your prayer. Are you with me? But you reach into a stage of a brother where the Bible says you are a hire of God and a co-hire with Christ. Look at someone and say, I'm a hire of God and a co-hire with Christ. A co-hire with Christ. Can you imagine that? All that heaven has got belongs to you. It is written in your name because you belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. A co-hire with Christ. And what happens at that time? That's where we come to Mark 11, the passage that we read. 24th verse says, have faith in God, I tell you the truth. If anyone say, underline that word say. Not if anybody asks, but if anybody says. You are more than a conqueror with Christ, whereby every mountain that comes in front of you, you are able to say to it, be uprooted, go, fall in the sea. You're able to say, As a servant, you might come and ask, and say, please, please remove the mountain. Lord, I am facing a problem. Please, Lord. But the more intimate you begin to know the Lord, you have a freedom, a boldness that comes by, whereby you can stand before the mountains that you face, whether it be a mountain of cancer, whether it be sickness, whether it be poverty, whether it be any bondage. You know your position in Christ, and you know the boldness that you have, the inheritance that you have, and you can say to the mountain, He approves. Come on, how many of you are with me this morning? Now I want to speak to you. The more progressive the revelation begins to come into you, and the more you begin to know Him, remember, you won't be scared of your mountain. Are you with me? You won't be scared of mountains. Sometimes people are all the time scared of their problems. They're scared over their tomorrows. They're scared over their future. It's worrying them, it's troubling them, it's harassing their mind, and they do not know how to deal with it. Well, that goes. That goes when you know by revelation who the Lord is, that He is your brother and the Father you have in heaven, and the inheritance that you have and the privilege that you have, where the anointing of God is resting inside of you. Know that privilege. It's just not for some people. It's just not for few spiritual people. It's for everyone who will read the word of the living God, appropriate the promises into their lives, and walk in the word, knowing that they have an inheritance in the Lord. Amen. Some of you never want to grow into that kind of thing. Oh, I pray that the Holy Spirit will stir you up. Move into that state, whereby you will have freedom. 9 years back, when I gave my life to Jesus, I was scared of mountains. I was scared of mountains in front of me, and I would say, Lord, Lord, please, Lord, please. Please make the situation favorable so I can walk with you. I was always asking God to do something outside. Please, Lord, speak to my father, my mother, my brothers. Tell them that I'm called. It was always asking and pleading and begging, and scared that the fear of mountains would make give me sleepless night. I said to everyone, I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to walk with God. And the world is looking at me and saying, let's see how far you go. At the time, a great preacher told me, brother, before you were on a drug trip, now you are on a Jesus trip. It won't last. He said that 9 years back, hallelujah, it is lasting. Oh, yes. Amen. It's lasting. It's going to last into eternity. Amen. I was scared of the mountain. Are you with me? But you don't need to be. Look into the Bible. Let's look into somebody who was not scared of the mountain and who had a privilege of walk with God and having a faith with God. The book of Joshua. Joshua. 14th chapter. The 14th chapter of Joshua. And verse 12. 14th chapter, verse 12. Now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and the cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Just as He said. Hallelujah. Here is a young man. I call him young because he was only 85 years old. Hallelujah. Caleb, he is saying to Joshua, when Joshua is dividing the inheritance among the people of Israel, He's telling to Joshua, Joshua, give me this mountain. You should understand one thing about this man Caleb. 45 years earlier, or 40 years earlier, when he was 45 years old, Caleb went with Joshua and 10 others to see the land that God was giving them. There were slaves in Egypt. God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. From the hands of Pharaoh, God rescued them with signs, wonders, and miracles. Brings them through the Red Sea and says to them, go visit the land. Look at the land that I'm going to give you. Hallelujah. Caleb and Joshua with 10 others go and see the land. And as they see the land, the 12 of them come back with a report. 10 of them say, the land is good. Indeed, this new move of the Holy Spirit is good. Indeed, this ministry of the Lord is very good. But, nevertheless, the word used in Numbers 14 is nevertheless. Whenever you find this word nevertheless, it means, you know, something negative is going to come about. I would have loved to come to your house, nevertheless, because it is raining, I won't. So here is this 10 people who saw the land coming and saying, the land is good, the promise of God are good. Nevertheless, we saw giants in that land. We saw problems. We saw huge giants in that land, and we thought we couldn't be able to go in and take the land. So let's turn back and go back to Egypt. But Joshua and Caleb, they are saying, listen, there is no problem at all in front of us. Numbers 14 and verse 9 says, the enemy has lost his protection. The enemy is not our problem. Are you with me? What Joshua and Caleb is saying is, the enemy is not our problem. The problem is you seeing yourself. You are looking at yourself as grasshoppers in front of these giants. They never said it. God never said it. The problem is you yourself. You're saying you are a grasshopper. And those are giant problems in front of you. I don't see any giants. Caleb and Joshua say, the enemy has lost their protection. Our God is with us. Let us go in and take the land. I like that kind of attitude. Hallelujah. One thing I can't stand is negative talk. Fear talk. Joshua and Caleb say, let's go in and take the land. They have lost their protection. Now this Caleb, you have to understand, they saw the land, they gave a good testimony. And they are coming back and telling Moses, listen, let's go in. Others are saying, we won't. And when Joshua and Caleb gave the good report, the Bible calls it a good report, when they gave the good report, the rest of the congregation took up stones to stone them. So this Joshua and Caleb are standing against the very nature of those congregation that wants to stone them. They're standing in faith in the Lord because they know the Lord has promised them and they know the land is theirs. Let me give you a few points here so that you can be very clear for your mind. One, remember, Caleb at that point of time, when he heard the promise, when he saw the land and when he confessed the promise out, he could have gone and taken the land. But because of the rest of the congregation, God's anger came and said, you're going to walk around the wilderness for 40 years. Look at the attitude of Caleb. You want to have your mountains. Look at this. Caleb could have grumbled and mumbled and complained. Why? Because of somebody else's problem. I can't have my place. I need to walk around for 40 years because of somebody else's problem. Come on. He could have done that. That's why the Lord says, if you stand praying, forgive everyone who's got something against you, that the Heavenly Father will forgive you. Are you with me? Don't complain and grumble and murmur and put the blame on someone else. Don't put it on your marriage partner. Don't put it on your brother. Don't put it on your father, mother. Don't put it on anyone else. Don't put it on your pastor either. Here is Caleb and Joshua, having to walk 40 years, even when they had faith because of somebody else's problem, but they are not willing to complain or grumble or compromise. Three things Caleb could have done, any of them. He could have complained, Lord, Lord, this is not fair. Here I am standing in faith. And because my parents are not coming to the Lord, what, this is not fair. He could have complained. Are you with me? He could have murmured. He could have compromised. What's the use of following the Lord? I gave a good report, a good confession. I had faith. Look, he did it. You want to see your mountains become your inheritance? I mean, the mountains become your place of victory. I will speak about it now. That mountain that Caleb asked for, how many of you understand this today? I mean, how many of you understand this? The mountain that Caleb asked for and Joshua gave it to him was called Hebron. Are you with me? Hebron means fellowship. But it was not called Hebron before. The numbers, Joshua 14 and verse 15 says, Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. The Anakites is the type of the flesh that tries to keep you from inheriting the land. And Arba was the greatest of them all, was a giant. And that exactly spot is what Caleb is asking. Caleb is saying, give me that mountain. For I know my inheritance. I know I'm a higher of God and a co-higher with Christ. Give me that very problem that I'm facing right now. I'm going to make it into a place of fellowship with God. I'm going to see that place as my place of victory. When you're struggling with a problem, either you can make it a place of victory. I mean, how will you have victory if you don't have battle? Come on. Here is Caleb asking for that mountain. And saying, give me that. It's called Arba. The man, the greatest among the Anakites. A giant of the flesh. But by the time God gives it to me and I walk through it in faith in the Lord, it's going to be Hebron. It's going to be a place of my union with God, not my place of defeat. Caleb, if I was Caleb, I wouldn't have asked Joshua for that mountain. See, 40 years earlier, I gave a good report with Joshua. I said we can go in and take the land now. And while Joshua is dividing the inheritance, they've already crossed Jordan and defeated Jericho and Ai, and already those lands are belonging to Israel, and Caleb would have a rightful place to say, listen, Joshua, we both were in this together. We both stood our ground and gave a good confession. Now there is some more land to be conquered. Let the rest of them have it. The place that is conquered, that is fertile, next to Jordan, somewhere that is near, something that is more beautiful, Jericho and I are already defeated, give me that place. Come on. Wouldn't you have asked the same thing? How many of you are with me this morning? You would have asked that. But not Caleb. At the age of 85, because he had faith in God. He knew if he went to that mountain and said, if he spoke to that mountain would pass. Some people want the best in God, but they're not willing to climb the mountain. Are you with me? They're kind of lazy. They're hoping that everything will just fall into their hands, just sitting back and relax. That's not the Caleb spirit. That's not the Caleb spirit. The Caleb spirit was such that he said, I want to do some mountain climbing. I want to be a little more adventurous. I have faith in God that every mountain is going to come under my feet and I'm going to have victory. I'm going to be willing to hold on, stay on, without complaining, without murmuring, without compromising. Amen. God gave him that mountain because, one, Numbers 14. verses 7 onwards. Caleb is saying this. Are you with Joshua, pardon me. Joshua, the same passage of scripture that we were looking into before. Joshua 14. 7 onwards. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my conviction. Remember, the passage that we read before, it says, have faith in God, say to this mountain, whatever you believe. Are you with me? Sometimes you can confess a promise out without believing. Whatever you believe in your heart, speak it out. Caleb confessed forth what he believed, according to his conviction. Are you with me? If you believe that your family is going to be saved, if you have faith in the heart, believe in your heart, then it will be there with your lips. Sometimes you can confess a promise by the stripes of Jesus and Jesus. What is the doctor's name? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. This health plan is there to be sold. Come on. He had conviction. Now remember this. And I brought him back a report according to my conviction. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Underline that word, wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me. The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Underline that word again, wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. Wow. Some people would like to take a retirement policy and stay at home. Oh, Joshua, come on. We went at 45 years old. We went and saw the land. We could have gone in because of these people. We had to walk about for 40 more years. Now, can we have the land? I'm too old. Not Caleb. Are you with me? Do you know there is no retirement in the kingdom of God? Look at someone and say, I won't retire. Hallelujah. I'll just refire. Amen. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Your life is never too old to do some work for the Lord. Amen. 85 years old, this man is saying, oh, let me go do some warfare. I don't want to just sit back and enjoy. I want to do some warfare. Now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. And the 13th verse, he followed the Lord again wholeheartedly. That word wholeheartedly, remember, if you want to have your victory over the mountain that you're facing, one, like Caleb, you need to be wholehearted. Look at someone and say wholehearted. What does that mean? It means you believe what God said and you do what God said because you are saying what God said. Are you with me? That means you believe the word of God, what God said. You do what God's word says to you to do. And you say what God's word says. When you find a little bit of unholiness creeping through, when you find that as if you're tempted with some uncleanness, remember, say, I'm a royal priest, a holy nation, God's own child, called out of God under the marvelous light. Are you with me? He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Not with half heart. Are you with me? Some of you come fellowship half-heartedly. You go for a movie wholeheartedly. You go there half an hour before the ticket sale starts. You stand in the queue through the rain, and then you get the ticket and you go in. You're wholehearted. Prayer, you're half-hearted. After the worship is halfway through, you come right to the door in the car, take the umbrella out, keep it right over your head, step in, see for a good place to sit in. That's half-hearted. Are you with me? Come on. Half-hearted. Caleb was not. Wholehearted means he was not in a position, he was always in a place where he never questioned God. Are you with me? He had plenty of options and things to question God. Lord, what about it? I gave you my life right there in Egypt as a little boy. I knew the blood saved me. I seen your miracle. I confessed my faith in your word. And I said, let's go in. Now, what is it, Lord? Don't I have a right to complain? Once a man of God I met in a restaurant, he was singing songs. He was a preacher before, but he was going back and he was singing those old Abba Boniem and all those songs. And he was, he said, I'm the highest paid musician in town. And I said, how can you do it? How can you just reject the Lord and go and do this? He began to complain. He said, the Lord told me to minister. I ministered. I gave my life as a little boy to the Lord and I began to do this for the Lord. But then I was faced with some kind of financial insufficiency. And at that time, none who called themselves believers helped me out. He began to complain and grumble. I said, Lord, let me never get in that kind of situation. Let me have this faith proclamation upon my heart always. Stand the ground. Be faithful, not to be a person who will whine and groan and complain and moan all the time. He didn't, wholehearted means, he didn't follow the Lord like Peter at a distance. Are you with me? The Gospel of Luke chapter 22 and verse 54 says, Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, if everyone forsakes you, I won't forsake you. I'm going to be faithful to you. I will follow you. And everyone forsakes and goes away. What about Peter? Peter knows he has said a promise to the Lord. And the Bible says in Luke 22 and verse 54, when Jesus was taken away into the courts, the Roman court, Peter followed Jesus at a distance. He's at peace. He's following the Lord, but he's one with the crowd also. That was not Caleb. Are you with me? Some of us are like that. We want to have victory over our mountains. We want to say it forth over our mountains, the word of faith. But like Caleb, we are not willing to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. We follow the Lord at a distance. That's not Caleb. Wholehearted means wholehearted. Amen? That wholehearted, that word means to be dedicated to the Lord and to His cause. Are you with me? To be dedicated to the Lord and to His cause. Caleb was not self-centered. It was not his land that mattered for him. It was the promise of God that mattered. I know that if I am in sickness, I have a promise from God that I can be healed by the stripes of Jesus. And it is His cause. Are you with me? If I am in a struggle, in a need, financial need, I know as a child of God, I don't need to bow my head before any heathen. Hallelujah. I don't need to compromise before anyone of the world. I can come before my Father in heaven and say, Father, I have a need and you will supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. It is His cause. The glory belongs to Him. Amen. who was dedicated. Two, Caleb, who was wholehearted. Two, remember, he never compromised, never grumbled, never complained. Numbers 14 and verse 24. The third thing is the word that we read before. He had the God kind of faith. But because, Numbers 14, 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Because he has a different spirit. What is a different spirit? He had a different spirit from the rest of the people. The rest of the people had a spirit of fear. Are you with me? But Caleb Caleb had a spirit of faith. Amen? Every time a problem comes, a mountain comes in front of you, no matter whether it's a personal struggle, no matter whether it's a sickness, whether it be a financial need, whether it be a relationship problem, you can either submit to fear or you can submit to faith. Are you with me? It is a decision that you take with your heart. You can either say, Jesus, I trust you and I trust your word, or you can say, I trust this problem. Either you can magnify God or magnify the problem. Either you can magnify the Lord and His word, or you can magnify the devil and his deeds. What did Caleb have? He had a different spirit. Spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. He didn't see the problem. He saw the Lord. I saw the Lord before me at all times, and His praise shall be upon my lips all day. David said. He saw the Lord, not the problem. The rest of the people saw the giant. In relation with them, he saw the giants in relation with God. Are you with me? So he had a good confession. And Caleb, the fifth thing that Caleb had, to have that mountain and to have victory and to inherit it and make it a Hebron, was that he submitted to godly leadership. He submitted to godly leadership. Some people do never inherit what God wants them to have because they're unwilling to submit to godly leadership. Listen, who is the leader when they're going in and taking the land? Not Moses, Joshua. And who is Joshua? Joshua is someone younger to him. Are you with me? And if you will read scripture very clearly, Joshua was not the one who spoke after spying the land. It was Caleb who said, let's go in and take the land. When the people were willing to stone, it was Caleb who still stood the ground and said, no, I'm gone. Are you with me? He could have asked God, God, why you made Joshua leader? After all, you see, I am more talented. I have more boldness than Joshua. You see, I can do things much more better than Joshua. When the entire congregation was trying to fight, Joshua just stood behind me. I was the one who took the stand. You will read the words very clearly. It was Caleb who took the stand. Are you with me? But when it came to submitting, Caleb submitted to the one whom God had placed. Do you see, wherever you are, in whichever ministry you are, do you see the one whom God has placed over you as the one whom God has placed? And you submit? Or do you see that, that person is not good enough? I can do a better job. God has to realize that. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. And he took a decision whereby he still kept his faith in God. He asked for the mountain. You remember, I stopped with it. How many of you are with me today? How many of you would like to see your mountain grow before your eyes? Hallelujah. It to become a Hebron, a place of fellowship, for a place of more intimate fellowship with God. Listen to this. Abraham and Lot went and saw the land that God had given them. God had given it to Abraham. Lot was just with him. And when God said unto Abraham, let both of you part ways, because your servants are fighting against each other, because I blessed you both too much. And when that happened, Abraham is saying to Lot, Lot, you choose what you want. And the Bible says, Lot chose the fertile plain. I used no mountain, only plain. He chose the easy way out. Abraham could have said, easy way out this guy is taking. God gave the promise to me. I took him along with me. This guy is saying the easy way out. He could have. But Abraham did not. Abraham was a man of faith. He chose the one that was more harder than the plain. Are you with me? The mountains and the hills and all. The same way Caleb was facing the decision. He could have chosen, like I said before, the place that was already there, next to Jordan. Jericho and the eye that was already victorious. But he said, give me that mountain. I am 85 years old, but I am still wanting to walk it. I still want to see the mountains come down. And my God is with me. His word is upon my heart. I am still following him wholeheartedly. I don't want to sit back in lukewarmness and enjoy life in the flesh, but I want to enjoy life in the spirit. So give me the mountain. And I'm going to see that mountain become a Hebron for the Lord. Amen. This morning, as we close our eyes in prayer, let's just meditate upon this one word that we heard. The revelation of the Lord upon our life, and to move into a stage where we can say to the mountain, not pray to the mountain, but say to the mountain. Not even pray to the Lord. You need to pray. You need to be praying because you want to be wholehearted before God. But whereby the anointing of God rests upon you, whereby you can say to every mountain that you face, no matter whether it be sickness, any bondage, any personal struggle, relationship problems, financial problems, whatever it might be, struggles in your call, whatever it might be, that mountain that seems to loom in front of you, you can say a word of faith like Caleb. Morning, I want you to be in the presence of the Lord and the presence of God this morning. And this morning, I want you to lift your hearts, your hands, and sing this song with me. Shout to the Lord, all you will. We're going to move into a time where we're going to sing the word out and see the mountain go.